that first and just, like, you know, focus on that. And we did the 9 songs, and we went in with a cool producer, Scott Middleton, who did the, who used to be a Cancer Bats. And he helped us out, and he was very helpful. And I think the production came out amazing. I loved it. So that was all we focused on, just putting out the album, man. The first one, just so people get a taste of it, and we could kind of, you know, cement the idea of who we are and what the style is about. So just to get it out there, you know. And so we just have the one album now, and we already have a bunch of songs working on right now. Both me and Ethan are writing on the next one. So we'll see how that goes by the end of the year.
No, sounds good. So the other question I usually ask, or, well, not usually, always, because it's very, I'm very curious about it. So how did the band, or you, or whoever came up with the name? How did it come about? How was decided?
Nihilism is a theme that I've been, you know, playing with before. Like, even in Soulstorm, it was very nihilistic kind of sound and song themes, lyrical themes. So it was just one of those things where I just wanted to kind of more... The name of the band should really reflect a lot of, like, the attitudes and the music style. Like, so, you know, I really wanted it to kind of drive home that message. And nihilism is, I don't know, kind of all, I guess it's hard to be extreme these days, but it's one of the more extreme type of beliefs, I suppose, because everyone tries to, you know, believe in something or have some type of faith, and I have none. No faith or beliefs in any of that kind of stuff. Like, and not especially the... organized religions, institutions, like that kind of thing, you know, send us your money, you get a better seat with God, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the, you know, I'm not into that kind of stuff. I don't believe anything if I can't see it or understand it, or, so the death cult part is just kind of like, you know, just kind of like a fun thing. I know it's like, there's a lot of death cults out there. It's been kind of overused, but at the same time, it's like, well, you know, this is our death cult, the nihilist death cult, and that's what it is, so.
No, that's cool. It's I mean, you know, a little bit, you're reminding me of the Antisocial Social Club, so there you go, the death, yeah, the Nihilist Death Club, I mean cult, sorry, then yes.
It's a club, it's a cult, you know, it's a tribe, the same thing, you know, like it's all like niche type of thinking, you know, that people have, like, when they follow these kind of music anyway, right? So, like, it's all, we're all the outsiders, so, you know, we're all the rebels, that's this kind of music, right? You know, so here we are, we're all congregating together.
yes, I mean, you know, for good or for bad, like, yeah, metal, punk, all of those have been, yes, people, we have been the odd, the weird, the everything. So anyway, yeah, makes sense. I mean, we are to some extent. All right. And so I guess just, you were talking a little bit about it, I guess, a few minutes ago, but in terms of, like, the compositions, like, is it does somebody does lyrics and then somebody else does riffs, or group effort, or how does that work for you guys?
Right. Well, I guess up until now, only because I don't want to say I had something to prove, but I guess I just wanted to do it myself, so there was no other complications, no people trying to stake claim and saying, you know, it was because of them or this or that. So I just wanted to do everything myself and just be like, you know what, I don't, you know, I just want to do this with my vision, like a very pure idea. I know what I wanted exactly, so I want to get that point across. Having said that, I had nothing to do with Ethan's writing or anything else. It's just like I wanted just to focus on a specific style to set the groundwork. And, you know, I love Ethan's writing as well, so there's going to be a lot more of that on the second one. We're going to, you know, because now that the framework is there, so we can just take it from there now. So I write everything basically up until now, and I write all the lyrics. The lyrics have been last, I've noticed, with lately, the way I've been writing. Usually, like, in the few weeks leading up to the studio, that's when I kind of cement everything and have, like, proper lyrics of everything for all the songs. So that seems to be the way it's been working out with, you know, like all the stuff I've been writing in the last, like, 7, 8, 10 years or so. So I'm just going to keep going with that.
No, sounds good. Yeah, I'm just, again, curious about the process. Some bands are similar, some bands are different. So that's, I'm just really curious about that artistic process.
True, true. Also, you know what? Another thing I've noticed with songwriting and bands, and you know, of course it is different with every band, but it's always one or two people that are writing. It's never the whole band. It's very rare instances where it's the whole band writing. And, you know, it just seems like one of those things where it's like, you know, and everyone has a different idea because some people don't write, you know, and that's just the reality of it. And like, you know, maybe they want to play guitar and they just want to come and, you know, play whatever the song is. Sure. Or you want me to do a solo over it? Sure. No problem. You know what I mean? And they don't care about the writing process of it or, you know, they were just like, they're comfortable with you taking the lead on that. So, you know, different people have different uses sometimes, and it's up to them really, like what they want to do and contribute, and you know, it's just, you know, one of those things there.
Yeah, no, yeah. You mentioned the other piece. You know, I've noticed or known, or you know, that there's, I mean, typically that there's one or two leaders on that respect, either, you know, one on lyrics, yeah, one on riffs, or vice versa, or half and half, whatever. But there's usually, you know, one or two people that take the lead on that. But yeah, you mentioned a very good point about the other people that are not writing to be comfortable with not writing and just, you know, playing, and maybe, you know, putting some whatever, you know, into the songs, like what have you. But you know, but at the end of the day, not like just feeling comfortable with not writing. So that's a great point that you bring.
Great, thank you.
You get another star.
What's that?
You get another star for your great participation. Just like back at school, man. Anyway.
Yeah.
You get a right answer and you get a little star or whatever, you know, sticker or whatever it was.
Yeah. Reward you for indoctrination.
Exactly. Oh yes, my goodness, yes. We could go on for hours.
I think school these days is a bit of a joke. I don't know. It's like, I mean, even we were indoctrinated to some level. But I don't think they even understood their power back then as much as they know now.
Yeah,
I mean, like there's so many. Like you go to college or university and they just kind of feed you stuff and they're like, it costs so much money and they just kind of tell you stuff that people pick useless majors sometimes just to go through the school to say, hey, I went to university, and it's like, okay, well, what did you learn? You know, can you get a job with it, or are you just going to debate people online, you know, you know, politics and stuff, right? I mean,
yes. No, yeah, I hear you. Yes, you know, it's, yeah, we need definitely a different approach.
Like, I should have just went into, you know, where you should probably, like, going into trade schools after high school is more of an option. At least there you could learn something and then go use that for something that later, you know, like you could build something on that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the education, what's the name, schema or whatever you want to call it that we have is definitely obsolete, and we should,
even public school, even all that stuff, I remember, like, they never taught you mortgages, taxes, you know, putting money away, financing, nothing, right? I mean, it was all, like, stupid stuff that you learn half the time. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, teach you something useful, please, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, I hear you. As you know, there's some generic stuff that you will make use of or could make use of later in life, you know, like English and math, but then some other stuff, you know, like, I don't know, chemistry or whatever. I mean, it's very specific to, you know, a certain path that, or traits or whatever. So, yeah, so instead of that, maybe it should be something more generic that, or, you know, that you will for sure need, you know, 5 years from now.
Yeah, yeah, right, for sure. Just because, I mean, there's things that we all deal with that none of us learn in school, and you know, you just kind of learn it through trial and error through life, you know. It's like, oh, all of a sudden you have to pay all these mortgages or taxes or whatever, you know. It's just, you know, stuff like that. You get your taxes done every year, all that stuff, you know. I never say up for that. I never do anything.
No, for sure, yeah. And, you know, even just responsibility, like good habits, like, you know, whatever, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, true, yeah. Just regular social stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so have you been able to promote the album? Have you been out doing shows, or are you now, or will you? Like, what's the scope there?
Yeah, so far we've been pretty fortunate in working with a local promoter and, you know, getting some shows set up. And he helped us last year before the album came out, so that was cool. And we played a couple shows, and everything
went
really well.
Don't tell me that's John.
Sorry?
Don't tell me that's John.
John, no, that's our PR guy. John, are you talking about John Archer or Asher?
Yeah, Sonny, I'm just giving John a bad time.
Yeah, no, he's the PR guy.
Yeah, hey, sorry. I was trying to make a joke and give him a bad time.
Okay,
anyway.
Sorry. Sorry. A friend of mine, he books the Hard Luck Club and the Bovine. His name is Craig, and he does Bone Crusher. That's the name of his company. And, you know, he's been setting up some shows with us and stuff. And it's been going really well. So we got a show in about 2 weeks as well. And actually, this weekend, we're playing in Ottawa. And it's starting to spill over. Like, the word's getting out. So people from other cities are inviting us to play now. We got a show in Buffalo. We got a show in Detroit. We're working on London. You know, there's another Peterborough one in the works.
That's cool.
And, you know, so starting to get out there. I mean, obviously, it's, like, local within our area. But, I mean, they're like, you know, 4 or 5 hour drives and stuff. So we're kind of getting out there and just kind of get the word out there. Everyone's excited about that. So we're happy that that's happening, you know, like, that people are interested. People are paying attention. You know, I mean, you know, it's completely DIY, right? We put it out ourselves. There's no label at all involved. So it's good to see the payoff, you know, like that people are listening to the recording or seeing the live videos from our other shows and stuff and being like, oh, yeah, these guys, you got to check this out, you know, like.
Yeah, that's a great feeling. I mean, you know, when you're doing kind of your own, yes, efforts completely or mostly, like, that's, yeah, that has to feel pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, the whole thing has been DIY, you know what I mean? Like, right from the beginning, like, when we got the, even though the production sounds, like, amazing, I mean, we combed, you know, the city for, like, who is going to really produce this album and do it justice, you know? Me and my brother were going through it. I kept sending him, here, check this out, I found this guy, you know? Like, check this out. And, you know, we're comparing, you know, demo reels and stuff. And I found Scott, and I was just like, you know what? I think this guy's got it. I love this drum sound. I think he's going to do a good job. And I showed my brother. He loved it. So, you know, I mean, we're finding all this stuff ourselves through the internet. Like, I mean, we're doing it ourselves, paying for it ourselves. You know, we're just getting the word out there, right? You know, and so far it looks like people are paying attention, and I'm happy about that.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah, that sounds very, very nice that you're kind of, you know, people are getting to notice you or know you, and then, yeah, the word spreads, and that's great.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so I guess, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Thing you could ask for.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and I feel like playing live is a bit of the litmus test too. Like, I mean, like hearing the instant feedback from the crowd when you play, that's like, that's the test right there, you know? And if you mean like, is it good or not, you know?
Yeah, that is, you're right. That's the ultimate, you know, the ultimate live test, exactly.
Yeah, you're in front of a crowd of people, and you know, that's basically what you're trying to do is play to a crowd of people, and if they like it or not, that's what, you know, if you're going to move on forward, that's the thing, right?
Yes, that's another great point. Yeah, another star for Nick.
Yeah. And you know, I love the fans. I love, you know, I got like, you know, fans from my previous bands and stuff, and friends that I made along the way and stuff, and you know, people respect the work, and so, you know, I'm happy for that as well. So, you know, that's why I try to do everything that the best quality that I can with the best producers. So, because, you know, I know there are people listening and I have a lot of friends out there and fans that I want to, you know, make them happy too, right? Because they're the one, if it wasn't for them, what am I doing it for, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just myself,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So, yeah,
okay.
Of course, I appreciate all that stuff.
Okay. So can you, I guess, just tell the audience about your social media, or I don't know if you have a YouTube channel, or, yeah, where can they find you?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, the YouTube channel is just part of my personal channel that I have put all sorts of stuff on there that I've done in the past and other interesting things. Well, I find interesting, at least. And the other stuff, like, yeah, we're on Facebook, we're on, you want the URLs or something, or like, we're on Twitter, like, you just find the band, I guess, if you just look up the
name.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
We're on the,
everything.
It's funny because someone pointed out that for a band called Nihilist Death Cult, and for the views that we have, like, that I hate, you know, mainstream news media and all that stuff, and, you know, like, there's that... we're everywhere on social media, you know what I mean? And he made a joke about that, but at the same time, he also said that, but we have a message, and the message is make metal hate again. That's what I write on all the platforms, actually. So, like, if you go to the bio part, it just says make metal hate again, which it just, and I think people misconstrue that if you're not paying attention, because I think a lot of people have their own associated version of what hate is, and they try to bring their idea into it, and like, some people were saying it was racist, and I'm just like, you don't really understand what we're talking about then, because we never said anything about race, you know? And the hate is about the energy and about the anger in music, which I feel is missing these days. I mean, there's something to be said about that kind of thing, and it's more about a passion and about doing this kind of thing without going through the numbers, just kind of going through the motions, you know what I mean, like a machine. You have to really feel this kind of music. There's an anger and a passion to it. And, you know, like me, my brother says, you know, that I have, like, hate in my riffs. And I'm like, yeah, that's the best compliment I could ever get, because you could hear it, you know, in the riffs. And I just love that. But it's not like a hate directed towards anyone. Like, it's a hate that is an anger and a general, like, a punk rock type of hate where you're, like, against the establishment, against society, you know? That kind of.
Yeah,
you know, and you have to harness that. You know, like you have to have like an energy, and you have to harness that, and that's where I think it comes through in the music. That's what I'm trying to do. So, you know, it's not to be misconstrued into like any kind of political type of thing at all. Like, but some people try to put their own spin on it, and you know, paint you as such, and it's just like, it's kind of sad, you know, because like what's the point behind that? There's, you know.
Yes, I guess we haven't gotten used to ask questions, just, you know, just make up, well, just construct our own conclusions, but yeah, a lot of things could be so much better like some if of we my, just ask questions first.
Yeah, some of my original influences for writing music, like into the, back in my early, my teens and 20s and stuff, I was playing like thrash music and stuff, and thrash metal, and like when you listen to the German thrash metal scene of the 80s, it was much more violent riff-wise and attitude-wise than anything coming out of, like, say, the Bay Area, for example, like the Testament and the, you know, Metallica and all that kind of stuff. It didn't, you know, that stuff was very weak in comparison, in my opinion, and that's what I'm talking about, the attitude of, like, that kind of stuff, not, like, any kind of, like, a political thing or, you know, anything else like that.
Yes, no, absolutely. All right, well, I want to thank you very, very much, Nick. This has been great. We talk about music and a lot of other stuff. Yeah. I love it when that happens. Thank you very much.
Thanks for... I appreciate it. You know, appreciate all the support, and you know, I stopped by you. They came out cool. You liked it.
Oh yeah, of course, we loved it. And yeah, I guess if you ever come west, you know, to tour or to present or something, just let us know, and we will spread the word for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds like a plan. You know, we'll definitely try to get out there. Thanks a lot for everything. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, man.
Welcome back to the Metal Meltdown. I am your host, El Dr. Misterio, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live and in Technicolor from unceded Coast Salish territory, the campus community radio at Simon Fraser University. All right, we just listened to Osiron. They are from Edmonton, Calgary, in Alberta, in Canada, and we listened to the song Landslide, which is part of their 2022 album Momentous. And we started the set with our guests tonight, Nihilist Death Cult from Toronto, Canada, and we listened to the song Imperium from their brand new album Death to All Tyrants. I want to thank Nick and Joey for being tonight at the show. This is unfortunately the end of the Metal Meltdown. I want to thank you very, very much for listening, for being with us tonight. And I will see you next week. And of course, El Dr. Misterio wishes you good. Well, before that, I'm going to leave you with Along the Lines. They are from Ontario in Canada. And we're going to listen to the song Sanguine, which is part of their 2020 album, Our Dear Finale, just like the Metal Meltdown finale. I will see you next week, and Dr. Misterio wishes you a good night and good luck.